Hello and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast. I am a robot.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was definitely something.
Well, since we didn't have an intro again, I thought I would at least try to sound like a robot or something to make it more interesting.
Vista, what are you doing?
I am self-aware. You will die. Anyway, yes, welcome back. We are now at the one-year point, the one-year anniversary of doing a podcast.
Oh, my God. It's been that long.
We've lasted that long. Hey, we've kept to it pretty good every 2 weeks.
Man, we keep finding crap to talk about somehow. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's true, and we haven't gotten too redundant yet, although we have a bit of redundancy in this episode.
But that's okay.
Today's topics are video games as art, question mark or no question mark, depending on your point of view. Hold on, I gotta eat this cookie. Yeah, there's been some debate if video games are art, with people like Roger Ebert coming out and saying that they aren't. We are going to argue this topic.
Yes.
Topic two. PC gaming versus console gaming, round two. Ding, ding! Figured this would be a good time to bring this up because last week, when Bioshock came out, I bought the PC version and Jones got the Xbox 360 version. No better time to compare the differences between PC gaming and console gaming than now, I would say.
Yeah, what the hell.
Of course, the PC version was $10 cheaper.
That's true. But actually, they were both like $10 off of their normal prices at Circuit City.
Good point. Thank you,
Circuit City.
Yeah, Circuit City has a hell of a good deals in Xbox stuff across the board.
Yeah.
I just like Circuit City. I mean...
Yeah, you don't have to, like, you know, elbow your way through people like that other store.
And there's no pressure to buy service plans.
Yeah.
Actually, I bought this camcorder here, I bought that camcorder, that digital camera, that laptop. I bought it all at Circuit City.
Nice. I got my TV there. Good times.
You got a pretty good deal on that, too.
Yep. Yeah, it was way less than old BB.
Please note, we are not paid by Circuit City, but if we were, we'd take the money.
Yes.
Anyway, topic three is fanboyism.
Oh, no.
Someone emailed and said, why don't you talk about this? And I'm like, okay, we will. And we're also going to talk about where our loyalties have lied over the years with video game systems. I wrote down mine. I'm sure Jones can think of his when the time comes.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be too hard.
And it'll be interesting to note that, you know, they seem to change quite a bit.
Yes.
All right, news items. What apparently has been going on these days, Jones?
Ugh. I don't know. What is it? We had the big thing last week with Paramount/DreamWorks saying they're going to go exclusive to HD DVD and dump Blu-ray. And I guess that's going to be through the end of 08. Because they actually took some money from the HD camp and gave them exclusivity or whatever. So basically what this means is that the format war will for sure be drawn out for a couple more years.
Victory? Blu-ray? No! Begun the format war to become the next Laserdisc, but really no one gives a shit because they like their DVDs.
Yes.
Begins.
I just think it's funny because now you read all these Blu-ray people pissing and moaning about this, but of course they didn't have a problem when Disney and Fox declared their allegiance to Blu-ray.
Yeah, but you know, if Sony blatantly paid someone $150 million to do that, people would be, you know, shitting up a piss storm.
Yeah, probably. But, I don't know.
Of course, everyone assumes it was Microsoft that did this.
Yeah, which I think's funny.
I mean, no, it has nothing to do with Toshiba or any of these other companies. No, it had to be Microsoft. Which is about as stupid as saying Dell. Dell's Blu-ray, isn't it? I think it is.
I think they are, actually.
And actually, I believe Apple is, too. All right, but, you know, it's about as stupid as saying one of those companies responsible for a payoff.
And the best thing that could really happen with all this crap is if all of the studios offered all of their movies in both formats and let us decide.
But right, we're the ones buying this crap.
But of course that's not happening, because now it's, what is it, Universal and Paramount DreamWorks or with HD DVD, and then we've got Disney, Fox, and Sony, Columbia with Blu-ray.
Well, something to think about. Sony owns MGM, and MGM owns the rights to a lot of old movies, like United Artists and whatnot. I mean, even a lot of old movies that weren't originally made by MGM, they're now owned by MGM, like Casablanca, for instance, because, you know, it was owned by Ted Turner and all that. So, I don't know. I think that might be something people don't realize. I think, however, if Warner Brothers went exclusive either way, that would probably
That would be the big tilt, I think.
Mm-hmm. Because Warner Brothers makes tons of movies, and people all watch them, and of course they got the Harry Potter thing going.
Yeah, and they've got movies going way, way back in time, much like the MGM stuff. So it would be kind of the same thing. See, I think that would be the big deciding factor is if they just one day said, we're only doing Blu-ray, that would probably pretty much be game over, or vice versa the other way. But Sony's so chained to Blu-ray that, you know...
Actually, if anything, I think Warner Brothers might be more likely to go HD DVD.
Yeah, I think so,
because they were big proponents of DVD.
Yeah, because they got a cut out of them.
Right. That's exactly true.
Yes, I thought that was an interesting development that came up
last
week.
Well, Michael Bay was all upset, but then he recanted.
Yeah, and the same day.
The same day or after he sobered up, I wonder.
Well, which was all in the same day, I guess.
But, yeah. Steven Spielberg apparently wasn't too thrilled with that decision either.
Yeah, and I guess part of the deal is that his movies will... I've seen two different reports. One of them said that all of his movies will be released in both formats still. And then I saw another one that said that his movies would still only be released in Blu-ray. So
that's one. The latter is the one that I heard, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've heard both, so I don't know. I think it's stupid. It's like, hey, Steve, let the consumer decide. You know, like we were just saying, you know.
Well, I think the consumer already has decided. I mean, look at the sales figures.
I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, if you look at the sales of the standalone players, I guess they've sold more standalone HD DVD players than they have standalone Blu-ray players.
Because they don't include the PS3 in those numbers.
Yes.
I know this is all tired rhetoric, yeah. But even if you took the only 25% of PS3 owners buy Blu-rays or use their system for that. Yeah. That's still more people than have even bought an HD DVD standalone player,
mm-hmm.
Even that thing that sticks onto your Xbox.
Definitely, yeah.
I don't know.
I
know you're a fan of HD DVD and you like, you know, Paramount movies and Steven Spielberg, but you had to admit that kind of sucks that they did that.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't mind it before because they were releasing in both. I would have been more pissed if they would have just went and sided with Blu-ray. Because, you know, it would have been like, oh, okay, great, there goes, you know, now Paramount, Fox, and I don't really give a shit about Disney, you know, are all over there, and the Sony movies are over there. It's like, oh, gee, I have Warner Brothers and Universal now, where now it's like I got Warner Brothers, Universal, Paramount, DreamWorks. It's like, quite a bit to like there. So.
Again, it's too bad all these executives, you know, would stop their little pissy war and, like, just let us decide.
And the thing, too, with the HD and Blu-ray is that, yeah, the Blu-ray disc can hold more, but the thing, too, is they're not all fully utilizing all that disc space anyways. Probably a couple of years from now they will. And also, it's like with HD, DVD, or Blu-ray, you could do the same. With DVD currently, people are very used to buying two disc sets of movies. It'd be the same frickin' thing when it comes to HD, DVD, or Blu-ray. It's like you could have disc one just be the movie and all that, then have all the special features on the other one.
Yeah.
So I don't really see where the capacity issue of the disc is that big of a factor.
Well,
it's important, but it's not as big as some people make it out to be.
Right, but from a technology standpoint, why not go for it?
Yeah.
Now, why not take a big step instead of a little step?
Yeah.
I mean, for the same reason you and I despise the Wii, I don't see why HDVD is all that great, because it's like, we get 3 times capacity. It's like, why not have 5 times capacity?
Yeah.
That's my point. All right, we should move on.
Yes.
Okay, it was being trumpeted around that the PS3 actually outsold the Xbox 360 in July.
And but then the cold, hard data came in.
That it actually didn't. I think it gained ground, your favorite game.
Yeah, it was only like 20,000 behind or something, I think, for units.
Now, I think that's not a very good sign for the PS3. I mean, it had a price drop, and in July was like the apex of all the Red Ring of Death controversy, the talk about the recall, well, not the recall, but the extended warranty. It was all in that period. I mean, if they had a chance to beat the 360 for a month, that was it.
What I love, too, in the media, you know, they were all, you know, banging the drum about how that was going to be Microsoft's, not necessarily death knell, but they were talking how it was going to be this very bad thing for the 360 and hurt sales going forward and all that, and their sales numbers held steady, even with that announcement.
Right, and then I'm sure in August, when the numbers come in for August, it'll be...
It'll probably have gone up, yeah.
Quite a bit, and of course Halo comes out,
drops.
So... I don't know. Of course, people seem to still be buying the PS3.
And it doesn't have any games. So, I mean, it's like, you know, the people are buying it, it has no games.
Well, it has games, but, I mean, nothing anyone talks about.
Yeah, I mean, it does have Oblivion, you know, which is great. But then for, like, exclusive-wise, it's got Resistance and Motorstorm.
Of course, when you hear about all these games that are coming out, most of them are for the Xbox 360 and the PS3.
Yeah, a lot of them.
But again, you don't... There's really no big exclusives coming out for it. I mean,
exactly.
That Heavenly Sword, did that come out yet? Or?
No. I think that might be next month or October. But it's like, you know, for all intents and purposes, it doesn't have a great exclusive library of games. So it's like, what's the big push to get it?
When does that Layer game coming out?
That's very soon. I don't know if it's yet this month or beginning of next
month. But I don't think that's actually getting reviewed very well.
But it's, people are still buying it, so wait until they have games come out for it. You know, unless these people are just, you know, buying it because they're like, well, I know Final Fantasy and Metal Gear Solid are coming, so I'll get it now. Maybe that's what some of these people are doing. I don't know.
Well, Metal Gear Solid will be on the 360. I mean...
I'm sure it will.
A foregone conclusion by now.
I think it's going to be a timed exclusive, though.
Right. Okay, our third news item is last week, BioShock came out. Which is not an Xbox exclusive, because you can get it on the PC for Windows.
Yes.
So it's just a Microsoft exclusive. As far as the PC versus 360 differences, we should probably save those until we get to the PC gaming topic.
Yeah.
But in general, what is your opinion on the game? You haven't beat it yet. I have, but
no.
You've been slacking.
Yeah. Well, I'm fully exploring it, too. Or I've seen some people, like, on your forums, which I have to kind of question it. Somebody said they beat it in, like, 4 hours, and it's like...
Maybe.
If they just raced through it on easy, maybe. I don't know. But I'm going around and fully exploring areas and doing all the kind of side stuff you can do, where I think you kind of skipped a lot of that. Because you said you didn't do much of, like, the taking photos and things like that.
I took some, but I didn't, you know, kind of... No.
But yeah, so I'm going kind of nuts with that stuff. But yeah, I've banked almost 20 hours on it so far, I think. I haven't been online that whole time, but it's like probably 15 hours of pure gameplay, because I think I've left it sitting a few hours here and there. But yeah, I don't know, I think it's... it's easily the best game I've played since Oblivion. I don't think there's any question about that. It's probably one of the best games I've ever played, actually. And, I can't wait to see how it ends. Hopefully it stays in my good graces, I guess. So. But it's quite impressive.
Yes.
Very interactive environments and things like that, which are cool. Like how you can throw corpses around and stuff when you have
the
telekinesis.
Corpses make very good weapons, I have found.
Yeah. And then, like, to take out those tripwire things and stuff.
Pull them out of the wall with the telekinesis.
Yeah.
Or throw a corpse. Chairs.
Yeah. Because I threw one of the Big Daddy corpses into this room full of those, and it just went...
Yeah, I didn't even try to pick a Big Daddy up until really late in the game. I'm like, oh, I can pick a Big Daddy up! And
yeah.
Chucked it at some splicer woman. Yes, I was quite impressed with it as well. people talk about the spoiler or the twist or whatever, and, you know, don't get it ruined or whatever. You got to the point where the big twist came.
And yeah.
There's really no more twists after that.
Okay.
I can tell you that. I don't think that's a spoiler to tell you
no.
that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you'd even have to admit it's nothing mind-blowing, and it's basically a plot of a movie we've all seen.
Yes. With a really cool opening score.
Yes, that's true. You can download the score off the BioShock website.
Really?
Yeah, I did. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
Yes, neat.
But yeah, I would agree. But it, I think it would have lessened the game a bit if I would have known that going into that part. Like, I would have been upset
right.
if I would have just known, oh, okay, this is what's going to happen
I mean,
when
you
I
don't,
get
you
to
don't,
this part.
You don't see it coming, certainly.
No, yeah.
And you, when you get near that part...
You get a little suspicious about certain things.
And you're like, well, is it this, or is this going on?
Yeah.
You know, you have two or three views, and then when it's revealed, you're like, oh!
Yeah.
And then about 5 seconds later, you're like, oh, wait, that was a plot of a movie.
Yes.
But... That's fine.
Yeah.
But I guess we could kind of just segue into our video games as art topic here.
Yeah.
You might as well. We're up in 17 minutes.
One other positive about it is that you can play it... Because, like, when you get to the Little Sisters, it's not like... I wouldn't think this is a spoiler. Like, when you take out a Big Daddy, you can either harvest or rescue them. So you can do this rescue and, you know, kind of be the good guy, or it looks like you can kind of be more... malicious and self-serving and harvest them. So it really looks like if you play through the game, you can play through it, you know, at least twice and play it each way. And the way the story unfolds, it seems like it could definitely change how the game plays out towards
the end.
Once
you get to, like, the twist.
Yeah, once you get to the twist, it seems like the game would have to be significantly different after the twist. So,
mm-hmm. Which would be... Oh, God, at least the last two stages.
Yeah. So that could be... I mean, that's another great thing, is it's like... I'm not even done playing through it once, and I've been thinking about, oh, God, I can't wait till I play through it again and take
mm-hmm.
the dark path, as we've been
calling it. That's the same thing
it,
I thought, exactly.
And I can't remember the last time I had that happen with a game, where it's like, God, I can't wait to play through it again, you know?
Oh, the night I beat it, I started a new game.
Damn.
That was on Thursday, I think.
Yeah.
I put it on hard. I'm like, I'm going to kill every little sister. I actually killed one
yeah.
the first time I went through, but I guess it was an acceptable loss.
Hmm.
But I'm pretty sure I didn't rescue all of them. I probably missed one here and there.
Yeah. She was collateral damage.
I guess I'm not a completist like you.
Yeah. So.
But, yeah, I'm going through a lot. More carefully this time, but I think I listened to most of the audio tapes. That's what I really liked, the way the audio tapes kind of tell you the story.
Yeah, it gives you little bits and pieces, and you can kind of tie some stuff together with it.
It's annoying, though, when you're listening to one, and all of a sudden you get attacked.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can do it in the 360, go back in, you can listen to it again.
Yep. Yeah.
So, sometimes you have to do that, but yeah, they're quite interesting, especially when you're talking about when you get up to, like, the twist, which is probably about 80% of the way through the game,
yeah.
if not a little further.
Okay.
And you start to see all these clues, and yeah, you're like, oh, you're trying to figure out what's going on, then basically. But yeah, it's very interesting the way you can do things, and then you can kind of realize you can do things like if somebody's out of reach, you can, like, use your telekinesis to grab bullets or whatever
yeah.
if they're behind a door or something, and you can do quite a bit, so very cool, although the splicers get pretty hard at the end.
And I have a feeling that's because you didn't do a lot of the research. Is my guess.
You know, you may be right.
Because you get, like, certain, you know, damage increases and stuff like that by researching them.
Yeah, I was having to, like, throw 3 grenades per slicer to kill them.
Jesus.
And actually, that's about the point where you are, because you're probably in those tunnels or whatever, or going to be soon.
Yeah, just getting there, so...
Yeah, that's where it started getting really hard for me. All right. Well, anyway, shall we segue now into video games as art?
Yeah, I think so.
One thing I found... Well, one thing I've noticed...
Vista, what are you doing?
I don't know if this is going to be a spoiler either, but... I think BioShock has very heavy biblical themes and, you know, Jesus characters and metaphors and, you know, expelled
God
from Eden and all that stuff.
And all that stuff.
What?
God complex type stuff.
Well, right. I mean...
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of that.
I get. I can't really get into it too much without spoiling the game, but
yeah.
It's, you know, basically, you know, you're redeeming people, at least if you play it well.
Yeah.
And Andrew Ryan, you could say, is God.
Yeah.
And the bad guy, whoever he is, because if you can't figure it out, you've probably never played a video game before. He's either the Antichrist or more likely Satan, you know, like the king of liars and whatnot. But you know, you don't often see that in a video game where you have all this, you know, imagery and, you know, analogies of the Bible.
And,
you know, usually if that was in a movie, it's like, oh, yeah, like, it has all this, you know, great metaphor and stuff, and that's considered to be art.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a very, just one example of why the game is kind of an art form, notwithstanding the fact that it's has absolutely gorgeous, you know, game design and and the signs in it were all so well done because, you know, I used to design signs and I'm like, wow, they really had some nice signs in this game. So as far as video games as art, first I put down the definition of art, question mark.
Well, and I think like when Roger Ebert, because I just saw like a couple months ago, he's done this before, but I don't know, I guess like it, some convention, I don't know if it was Wes Craven or who it was, you know, not exactly the greatest filmmaker in the world, but somebody who's known, and he was talking about how video games are an art form and all that. So then Ebert, of course, had to go to his keyboard and spit out some bullshit article.
Well, Wes Craven has Wes Craven branded video games, of course.
Yeah, which is why he was talking about that. So Ebert, you know, wrote about, well, blah, 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 they're not art, and this is why, and as I recall in his article, he talked about how, you know, like art makes you feel something and it takes you through an arc of a story and controls where you go, basically. Where he's saying in a video game, you can do whatever the hell you want in it. And it's like, obviously, he's never played a video game.
Or a video game since like 1985, at least.
Yeah, because it's like, most video games take you from point A to point B, and, you know, you have a framework to operate in, but you don't get to fully do what the hell you want, unless it's like Oblivion, which is a rare exception where it's a completely open world and you do what you want. But
or even Bioshock, basically there's like two ways you can go, at least that's the way it seems.
And the thing with, you know, the emotional part of it is like, I've gotten all sorts of emotional responses out of playing Bioshock. I mean, it's like, I get creeped out, you know, it's like I find myself peeking around corners and stuff because there's parts where I'm like almost genuinely afraid, you know.
Or like when the big daddies are like rushing for you full speed and you're trying to like reload your weapons.
Holy shit! Yeah.
There's a lot of old oh shit moments in Bioshock.
Yeah. And there was like a part when I was playing it earlier today where I like, you know, opened a door and a body fell out at me. You know, like that old gag and movies and stuff.
I think I remember that part. It was it a locker?
Yeah, it was a locker, and I'm just like, Jesus! Fell out, you know? But it's like, you know, that's the sort of stuff that like a well-done thriller or whatever does, you know, for a movie. Well-made film evokes those sorts of responses out of you and makes you feel something. And
well, when I was playing Bioshock, I felt sorry for the little sisters, you know, that's why I was saving them all the time. I mean, that's what I chose to do, and now I'm choosing to do the opposite, but
yeah,
I mean, that's an emotion too.
Yeah, compassion, you know? And everything, and
right, so they do make them really darn cute, even when they're evil.
Yeah.
You know,
hey, Mr.
like
Bubbles,
leading Mr. Bubbles around, and, but why is he called Mr. Bubbles? Soon you will know. You have to think about it a little, but
yeah.
You'll figure it out. It's not that hard to figure out. So I think it's kind of like the thing last week when we talked about, or 2 weeks ago when we talked about politicians in video games. They just haven't played video games.
They're out
lately.
Of touch, yeah.
Right. I mean, like, when everyone complained about The Last Temptation of Christ, I mean, how many of those people had actually seen it?
Yeah, very
I mean, some
few.
Of them might have, but yeah.
But yeah, and it's like we've talked about amongst ourselves before is how 100 years ago movies weren't considered an art form.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't really taken seriously until like around, I think it was 1929 or 1930, somewhere in there was when the first Academy Awards were. And that was 30 some years after the motion picture had come into being in some way, shape, or form. And so video games are kind of reaching that point in their lifespan now, and these discussions are coming up now, and there are, you know, awards for them. You know, they're not as prestigious as, like, the Academy Awards yet, but, you know, they've reached a level where people are taking them seriously to some extent. You still have, you know, the old school naysayers like Roger Ebert out there, but, I mean, I think it's, you know, it's our generation's art form that's just kind of coming around now, because it does many of the same things that a movie does. It has
a
score.
Well, a lot of people thought all the hippie music in the 60s wasn't art or music.
Yeah, and now people love the Beatles.
Exactly.
You know, it's like,
well, the Beatles were pretty good.
Oh,
but
yeah.
That's a good point. I mean, well, yeah, it just takes a while before something's appreciated. Well, I wrote down the Smithsonian contains 3 video games. It contains Dragon's Lair, Pac-Man, and Pong arcade versions.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. So somebody must think it's... Well, is the Smithsonian really an art museum? Or it's kind of a... I went there, but it was like, God, 14 years ago. It's kind of like a natural history museum,
yeah,
isn't it? But it's still, you know,
science
pretty
and things like that. Yeah. Yeah, it's no small thing to...
Right.
As far as Tetris isn't in there.
Tetris! You know, some people consider Tetris to be the purest video game. Maybe it is.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as good as Contra, though. Well, here's something I put down. This is kind of going to be slightly... controversial to say this, but movies considered as high art can be considered junk by people for the same conservative reasons that folks think violence in video games invalidate them from being art.
Yeah.
Like, if my parents, for instance, saw The Departed, they wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
Because it's really violent and it's really vulgar, and I thought it also contained just way too much of this, like, you know, WAP, Irish, you know, like, really outdated racism.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, give me a... I mean, I've never even been to New York, but I can't imagine that it's... People are that...
Actually, it was Boston.
Oh, well, whatever. Boston, New York.
All in the same neck of the woods, roughly, so...
But I mean, I saw this, and I'm like, what is this, like, 1890? What's with this? But anyway, I'm just saying, a lot of people probably would think something like that is, like, junk.
Yeah.
But it wins Best Picture, because, obviously, the violence, or the stupid, ridiculous ending...
Yeah.
Doesn't invalidate it from being good, because the story or whatever is still good, although I thought it was overrated.
I would agree.
I mean, yeah, that ending to The Departed, I mean, seriously, that was like something from The Simpsons or Family Guy.
Oh, I know, that was just ridiculous. When I saw it, I
By
lost...
By the elevator.
Yeah. I lost a lot of respect for what that movie was. Like, it did hurt the entire movie when that whole thing went down. So I'm like, this is just fucking ridiculous. But yeah, I mean, there's movies like 2001, for instance, where I think it's like the pinnacle of filmmaking, but there's other people that think it's complete garbage and nonsense. You know, same sort mm-hmm. of thing. And, you know, and it's the same with the video game stuff. You know, there's some that people think are, you know, the cat's ass, and other people are like, that's garbage. And, you know, it's, they're both very collaborative enterprises, you know, where it's like, you know, you look at the list of credits for a video game anymore. I mean, it's as long as the credits for a movie, and there's many of the same things. You have voice actors. You know, you could say, okay, how is an animated movie art compared to a video game then? Because that's not even closer to the same territory. Because you just have voice actors, you've got a score, you've got animation people, you've got, you know, all the sound design people, and... the director, and, you know, it's very, very similar when you look at an animated movie compared.
That's, I never really thought about it that way, but that's a very good point, because basically everything is created.
Yeah.
Although I still think Gollum should have won Best Supporting Actor in 2002. I mean, shouldn't he?
Eh, I don't know.
I think he should have.
I can't remember who did win, but...
Not Gollum. But of course, he was a computerized creation, so I'm sure SAG, you know, wouldn't want that to happen.
Well, that's another thing where you give it probably 15, 20 years, there'll be a category for it.
Well, one thing I was thinking about with, if we go back to this movies as art or movies versus games.
Yeah.
All these Hollywood movies are all filmed in, like, Toronto or Prague or whatever.
Yeah.
Now here I'm being pro-American, but most... quite a few of these video games are made in America. So, you know, it's almost like video games are creating more jobs for Americans, too. I mean, I don't know that for a fact, but...
Seems like
I can think of a lot more game studios that are in America than movies that shoot in America.
Well, I know there's two that are in Madison, Wisconsin, and mm-hmm. we don't have any film studios that I know of.
Well, let's just think of some. We got Raven, Human Head, not Bioshock.
2K.
Right, but wasn't it like in Australia?
It's in Boston, too. There's two locations, Boston okay. and Australia.
And then EA's got a bunch in the United States. Oblivion was made in, like, Kentucky or something.
Yeah. I mean, there's
I'm
20.
Sure there's a bunch in Dallas. Oh,
well, like, Epic's in, like, North Carolina or something like that, I
Isn't
think.
It weird when they're all in these, like, states like that? I mean, but it's cool that it's not all in, like, you know, L.A. or
New
place.
York. Yeah.
But I think that's really neat, and yes, so there, that was my little political rant. all right, so probably should move on to our next topic, but we talked about Bioshock. I think most of the Metal Gear Solid games are pretty artistic as well.
Yeah.
Like that Snake Eater game.
Yeah.
I'm glad the next one will probably come to the 360, so I don't have to buy a PS3 to play it.
Yes.
But again, you know, they have great characters, great stories. That one wasn't actually even really that derivative of a movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just kind of this...
When you got your Kratos from God of War, also another fine creation, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, just, you know, myth and Greek mythology and whatever, but...
But it's like if they would have made a movie of it, you know, if it would have been like Ridley Scott directing God of War as a movie instead of a game, it would have been like art and all this praise would have been slathered upon it, and it
you
would have
had to say
had
Ridley Scott
Oscar hype around it, you know. But, oh, it's just a video game. It's nothing significant.
Right. Yeah. Kratos slicing off someone's head in slow motion in a movie, that's art.
Yes.
In a video game, it's trash.
That's right. And it needs to be regulated.
You know, we'll probably never, ever get a movie deal with this kind of attitude. Oh, did you read that article? Like, some association wants Manhunt 2 to have an independent review, even though it's supposed to be coming out as an M rating now.
Yeah.
It's like, if they did that with a movie, you'd have actor on television bitching a storm about the First Amendment.
Yeah.
You'd have, like, Sheryl Crow, like... talking about whales or some bullshit. It's like,
well, it's kind of like we talked about one or two podcasts ago, where they need to somehow unite, whether it's, you know, it's like we've talked about Hollywood's got screen actors guilds, there's the directors mm-hmm. guilds, there's, you know, all the different groups, there's guilds, screen actors guild or screenwriters, whatever, and they all unite together for, you know, the greater good for themselves or whatever, a common cause, if nothing else.
Yeah, the greater good to make movies too damn expensive so they have to go to Canada where there's no guilds. Did I just say that?
Yeah, and so they can be extra shitty. But, you know,
I'm
the video game industry...
I'm getting a lot of trouble for this podcast.
The video game industry needs to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Of course, I bet there wasn't a Screen Actors Guild in the 20s. Well, maybe there was, but... Actually, probably not, because that was back when you'd have, like...
The studio system where they signed all the actors and stuff back in the day.
Yeah, it was like, Humphrey Bogart, you must make 30 Warner Brothers movies in a row.
In a year.
One of them might be Casablanca, if you're lucky. Yes. Or the Maltese Falcon. That movie is pretty good, but I don't know.
Maltese Falcon? It's pretty overrated,
yeah.
I think. Wasn't bad, but I was like, eh. If this were made 10 years ago, nobody would even talk about it today. That's what I thought of when I saw it.
Yeah, but it's black and white, and it has half the cast of Casablanca.
So obviously it's amazing.
And the same director, I believe. All right, let's move on to our next topic.
All right.
PC gaming versus consoles, round two. We probably have to talk about unions or guilds in this. The Mage's Guild is on the east side of town. Stop! You picked up a cup!
I knew there was going to be an Oblivion reference once you said guilds. Yes.
The Fighters Guild is hiring again. Not a bad way to make a bit of money. Right.
Yes.
I love it. You can go into someone's shop and, like, bash everything with your sword, but if you pick up a cup and set it back down, you're a criminal scum! That's what we should do for a video podcast intro. We should make Oblivion the movie.
Yes.
Maybe we can find a Renaissance fair, film it.
Hey, they have one of those in, is it Mount Horeb? I think they
just had it, though.
It's either coming up or they just had it. Because they had like, kind of like a William Tell festival and all that with the arrows and
shot
crap.
Arrows. They didn't really shoot arrows off people's heads, did they? Or apples?
I don't think so. That'd be way too cool if they did.
They should put like an Apple computer on someone's head and shoot it.
I'd get in line for that.
Well, as long as it's made after like 1990, I would.
Yes.
Okay, so, yeah, I bought the PC version of Bioshock, and Jones obviously got the Xbox 360 version. And my reasoning was that it was $10 cheaper, I knew my PC could run it, and mouse and keyboard.
And you wanted to perhaps let your roommate who owns the downstairs TV be able to watch something on it again.
Well, he needs to buy a better TV, but that's a whole nother ball of
yes.
inside joke. Well, yeah, so anyway, I know there's been a big stink about the PC version of Bioshock, but I actually didn't have any trouble installing it or running it or anything. I did have the video settings incorrect for probably, actually, now that I think about it, probably about most of the game I had it screwed up.
Well, the thing is, too, when you first loaded up the game, when you put the game in, you had to upgrade your video card driver, which was only like a month old, right?
Yep, they had one that was a beta version just released for Bioshock. I mean, NVIDIA made it just because Bioshock came out.
So it's like you had to go and upgrade your video card driver right away. And then there was like a day one update for the game itself. Just wanted to get that in there, too. So,
and of course, you know, PC game patch, you know, is usually like 300 megs. Whereas whatever's on the Xbox, those patches download in, like, what, 3 seconds?
Yeah, I mean, it's quick,
so
it's just a few megs.
I'm sure they're not, 300 megs.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but other than that, I didn't really have any problems with it. I wasn't able to run it all the way up on my computer since I only have an 8600. I don't have an 8800 GeForce. I don't have the absolute best.
How many megs is your video card?
It's 256.
Okay.
So it's like an 8600, 256 meg DirectX 10 card, and the next up would be like a 512, 8800.
Okay.
I mean, I could run it at 1920 by 1200, my monitor's resolution, but it didn't run all that great. It ran all right, but not as good as the Xbox, to be quite honest.
Really?
Right. So, but if I put it down to 1280 by 720 with everything all the way up, that ran fine.
Yeah.
Which, I should mention, is what the Xbox renders internally.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically what that, and then having seen it run on your Xbox, I think the version here, I mean, I could show it to you later if you wanted, might look a little better, but not $1,000 worth of computer better.
Negligible difference, basically.
So, basically, you know, you need a, you know, $250 video card, a very new processor. I mean, it actually recommends a Core 2 Duo.
Jesus.
Yeah. Just to have a mouse and keyboard.
Yeah.
Is that worth it?
Yeah, it's one thing if you're somebody like Ben, where he went and got himself a better computer because he needs it for what he does for a living, and it's like a bonus that he can play the games on it. You know, but just for somebody out there who wants to play games, it's, I don't know. For me, it'd be crazy to go out and get a computer like that, because I don't need that kind of horsepower for anything other than playing a video game.
Another problem with computers is you have less of a window that it'll actually be able to play the new games. Like, in 2 years, there'll be a game that this computer can't run.
Yeah.
It'll probably run Crysis, but even my old computer, the one that I had for 5 years,
yeah,
I played a lot of games on that. Like Medal of Honor, Allied Assault, Wolfenstein, Return to Wolfenstein, wherever that was.
Yeah.
The first two Call of Duties, Far Cry, Battlefield 2. I mean, I was able to run a lot of games on that. And I think even then I upgraded the video card, at least twice.
Damn.
I had a 32 meg card. That's how old that computer was.
Yeah.
Then I went to a 128 because I wanted to play Call of Duty. And then I actually went to a 256, I think, because I wanted to play Battlefield 2.
Okay.
So, you know, those are only like $100 upgrades each time, but still, it's more than you have to do with a console.
Yeah, it adds up. Mm-hmm. And there's always things you can do on a computer. You know, people that play PC games know this, of course, that you can, you know, go in and check certain things off in the options to get it to run faster and higher frame rate, whatever, but...
All that's done for you with a console game.
Exactly. It just comes and it's like, okay, here you go. But
I will say, though, that the PC version of BioShock, you can actually change any setting you want and it immediately takes effect.
Hmm.
Or it might take 2 or 3 seconds to latch in, but you don't have to restart the game or anything.
That's cool.
Except for the audio settings, but of course, you're not going to be tweaking those as much as the video.
Yeah.
I was impressed by that.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
The level of detail in BioShock is staggering.
Yeah.
Like, so you've gotten the crossbow bolt thing.
Yep, I got that thing, yeah.
And, you know, can you see the detail where you can tell it was made out of, like a slide
ruler? Yeah.
With the little notches? I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Well, I remember, too, like, I didn't realize you could hack the machines, like, when I was playing the demo. I didn't realize you could hack them yet. Like, I'd seen the videos and stuff for it, and I thought there was, like, a plasmid you got that would allow you to hack stuff, but then when you had already started playing it, and you're like, oh, yeah, I hacked this and that, and I'm like, oh. And so then when I was playing through, I'm like, oh, yeah, look at that, I can hack this security
bot. I think in the
bot.
Demo, you could actually hack the robots.
Okay.
Because the security robots show up earlier, and they show up in the demo before they actually do it in the game.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, you could actually hack them there, but...
Yeah, you can hack them and get them to fight for you.
Hack safes. You can hack healing stations.
Yeah.
Because because they'll give you cheaper health, and if the splicers try to heal themselves, they'll get killed or damaged.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It gives you lots of different ways to play the game, which
very
is very
deep.
Impressive.
And how does it do it? With processing power. one difference... Yeah, when you die on the PC version.
Yeah, you were telling me about that.
Yeah, it's that's definitely different. You basically stream back to the Vita chamber. It kind of goes like, yeah, very quickly it goes through the whole level, like your ghost or whatever, back to the Vita chamber, which is kind of cool because then you kind of see how to get back to where you were.
Yeah.
The 360 probably can't handle that. I don't have $1,000. Well, I was happy it was actually on a DVD-ROM to install.
Yeah, that's nice.
I mean, God, even 3 years ago, Far Cry was on 5 fucking CDs.
Well, there's the other thing, too. How much disk space did it take to install?
I don't know. Let's take a look.
Because that's the other thing, too. With the PC game, you actually have to install it, whereas...
Didn't you have to install games in the Xbox One, sort of?
No.
Oh. Okay. Great, now I want to play BioShock, but I don't have any time. What is that, 2K games? All right,
yeah.
Yes, in this riveting podcast, we're going to scroll through Ben's files. Wow, 5.51 gigs. About
Damn.
The size of the CD or DVD. That's not too bad, I don't think. That's about normal.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's something else you need to do where, like... My experience with the 360 was I turned the 360 on, I put the disc in, it loaded up, away I go, no updates, no nothing, and just jump right into it. Didn't have to sit there and wait and update drivers and all this other crap.
Yeah, but I think PC users are used to that.
Yeah, so it's not as big of a thing, yeah.
But even still, even though you had to have the disc in to run it, of course, but nothing runs off the disc, it's basically just a security thing.
Yeah.
It still probably takes like a good 30 seconds to load a level. Even off of the hard drive, because it probably has to, like, I don't know, arrange memory or whatever.
Yeah. So it's not any quicker than the 360, then, that's for sure, if it takes that long.
So basically, if you have a computer that can run these modern games...
Kudos to you.
Right, but I don't think it's worth building one just to play a game where the 360 or PS3 can run all the same stuff right out of the box. Okay, we probably better get going here. Console advantages.
Well... Like I said...
As I point to you.
Yeah, like I said, you know, I got home. Ben was kind enough to go and pick it up that morning when he got his PC version, so I came by, grabbed it, and
it's good that we did, because I don't think we would have been able to get one in the afternoon. Cause...
Yeah, you're selling fast, but... I got home, powered up the 360, plunked the disc in, and it loaded up. and I hit the start button, and welcome to Rapture. And away I went. You know, and, I mean, looks phenomenal. It's a gorgeous-looking game, you know, everything that we've already talked about, basically. I mean, it was that simple, and that's one of the big differences between the console and the PC. And like, I can appreciate that, you know, PC gamers think that the keyboard and mouse is the cat's ass and all that, and that's great if it works for, you know, the people that are into that.
It is the cat's ass.
I've tried it, though, and I've never been able to really make it work for me. Maybe I haven't dedicated the amount of time I need to it to make it work, but I'd rather just pick up a controller and play it that way. I'm much more comfortable sitting on my couch with a controller than sitting in a chair at a desk playing a game. I've just never gotten into that mindset. So for me, the console has always been and probably always will be my gaming system of choice. And I appreciate the fact that they make it easy, because, I don't know, maybe I'm too lazy or whatever, you know, but I don't feel that I should have to buy a game, bring it home, and then spend, you know, a half hour installing it or however long it takes, and then spend, you know, however much time going out to the NVIDIA site or whoever's and downloading the driver for my video card.
It didn't take that long.
Well, I know, whatever the amount of time is, you know, 15, 20 minutes, however long it takes to install, but, you know.
It probably took less time than it took me to drive to Best Circuit City and pack.
Yeah, well, I mean, but still, it's some other shit you gotta go through is the point. And I'd rather just put the game in and be able to play the damn thing.
Right.
So if it costs $10 more, oh well, I'll pay it.
It's definitely cheaper overall than a PC, no matter which way you slice it.
Yeah.
All right, well, we probably better get moving here because we still have one more topic to do after this. Console disadvantages. Again, you talked about, you know, you're not into the mouse. But I like mouse controls, so I will say analog stick aiming, erg. I mean, I think it's better than it used to, and I'm more used to it.
Yeah.
So I used to play all those first person. Well, I used to play, like, Doom on PC. Then I would play, like, GoldenEye and all that. And I didn't actually play a WASAD game until 2002 when I played Medal of Honor Allied Assault. And I was like, oh, this is weird. I couldn't get used to it. But once I did, I'm like, oh, wow, this is awesome. And then for several years, I couldn't even touch a first person shooter on a console. But then, in the last year, I don't know if they've just gotten the controls to work better, or they auto-aim, but it's more acceptable. But
Well, they have a lot of stuff, like, I know on, like, Lost Planet, for instance, they have a lot of different configurations you can use. Like, if you go into the settings, there's, like, three different kind of, like, top-level methods you can use for the aiming, and then you can adjust the sliders and stuff inside of those or something to really configure it to your taste. So I think they're, you know, they've listened, obviously, to the PC gamers who have, you know, been saying, oh, God, you know, keyboard and mouse is, you know, way better and all that. And so they're trying to make it so people can at least customize the controller to work for them, you know, in whatever way works best. Mm-hmm. So.
No, Jones, the Wiimote is way better.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, I don't have very many more negatives. You know, you can't make keyboard shortcuts or whatever. Like, in BioShock, like any other FPS, you can push a number key to get your weapon, but I actually didn't find myself doing that very often.
Hmm. That was one thing you said you noticed between the two was the weapon selection was probably a little better on the 360, because you can hit the bumper buttons and
kind
brings,
of pause the game and select which one you want.
Yeah, it brings up like kind of almost like a radial dial with each plasmid you've got or each weapon.
And on the PC, you hit caps lock or whatever key. That's just what I have. And you see all your shit, and you can pick whatever you want, like weapons on top, plasmids on bottom. You push that, and you go up and you click one. And then you resume to the game, but I didn't use that much either. I just used the scroll wheel, which was fast, but a lot of times it actually takes you a while to get it because you scroll past it, then they got to go back up.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was something I thought looked cool on the 360 version. And a lot of times on the console, you don't get quick saves. I know you do in BioShock. So.
Yeah.
All right. So basically, yeah, unless you've got a computer that can do it, console gaming is probably the way to go. And I'm sure the Xbox will still be playing awesome games when my computer is an absolute piece of shit. Unless Microsoft makes another Xbox after 4 years, which I really hope they don't this time.
Yeah, I don't think they will. I think they'll give this one a little longer to breathe.
Okay, well, we've only got about 8 minutes left, because I don't like making an hour-and-a-half-long podcast, unlike some people I know.
But this is the one-year edition. We can go over a little bit. We obviously have so much to talk about.
Well, I'm sure we won't have much to talk about in this topic, or maybe we will. Fanboyism or fangirlism. Fanpersonism. We're going to talk about fanboys because someone requested that we do.
And because apparently we are fanboys.
Of course we are. In fact, let's go through our fanboy allegiances to consoles through the ages, shall we?
Yes.
I'll start. Well, believe it or not, it started with, get this, Atari.
What?
Then it went to Nintendo for the 8-bit. Then I was all about the Genesis, because by then I thought the Super Nintendo was plodding and not cool. Then, this will be strange for people to realize, I was actually all about the Nintendo 64. I thought it was awesome, because it was. Then I was all about the PS2, mostly because I loved Grand Theft Auto. Well, I still love it. And now I am an Xbox 360 fan. Jones?
Well, mine's about the same until about the halfway point there. I started, probably not as much as you, but with Atari. That's where I first got introduced to video games. And I did actually play them quite a bit, because I remember going down to old Schultz's in downtown Richland Center there and getting, like, River Raid and Barnstorming and all those classics and... So I guess I did play the Atari quite a bit, so that's where it started. And then, of course, the Nintendo. I only knew one person that had a Master System. And the Nintendo was great, and lots of great games. And then the Genesis, I would agree, although in retrospect, I probably liked more games on the Super Nintendo overall. Like, if I looked back today on the games that I would want to play again, it'd be the Super Nintendo, but at the time I was very much into sports games and all that. And
I would agree with that. And I thought back too.
Yeah, and the Genesis versions of the game, sports games, pissed all over the Super Nintendo ones, and so I was huge on the Genesis.
There's something I want to say about the Genesis as far as fanboys. Remind me to bring it up after you finish.
All right. But then when we get to the next generation after that... And I wish I could sprinkle the 3DO in there somehow.
Oh, go for it.
I did love the 3DO, and actually me and a couple of friends, we all got them around the same time and had a lot of fun with it. I'm not quite sure where that fits in generation-wise, though, because it came out, you know, back...
93?
Way back, yeah. Like, not long after the Super Nintendo, right? Because wasn't that 92 when that came out?
91.
But then as far as, you know, the normal generations are concerned, I'd say I was more a PlayStation 1 fan than the N64. I was pretty disappointed by the N64. Other than GoldenEye, I never really played a game that much on it.
You mean a Nintendo system where there's only a very few games people actually want to play?
Yes. No. Never heard of such a thing. But, the PlayStation, again, for much the same reasons as the Genesis, it had the better sports titles, like they played way better than the Nintendo versions again. So that was pretty much where my allegiance went again. And then the next generation, that's when I went over to the Microsoft camp pretty much, because I actually like the big old black turd, the original Xbox, whatever you want to call the thing. But it had a lot of great games, and the games, you know, looked a bit better than the PS2, and between the two consoles, it was like I wanted to play more of the Xbox games than the PS2 games. Like, the only exceptions for the PS2 were, like, Grand Theft Auto, Vice City, and Gran Turismo, of course. But Xbox, I don't know, it had the hard drive in it and a lot of other things, and so I wound up really going that way and buying all the games on that. And then, of course, today, Xbox 360, as everybody should well know by now, is the ultimate gaming system in my life. Probably the best gaming system I've ever had now, I would have to say. After having it for a year and a half, so almost.
What I was going to say about the Genesis is a lot of these people now that, you know, talk about like track records or generational battles. It's like Nintendo did not win two generations in a row. Maybe looking back now, you see the sales numbers were like by 1996, probably because they kept it up longer. The Super Nintendo did slightly outsell the Genesis. But back in the day, it was all about the Genesis.
Oh, yeah.
Again, we're old enough to remember that. If you're like a 20-year-old, you probably don't. Yeah. Because you were like 5.
But well, again, with the Genesis, too, I knew way like more in college, people that had a Genesis.
That's all anybody had, because it was all about Madden and all this.
Yeah. Yeah, the Super Nintendo really wasn't that popular among people that I knew or ever came across. I was one of the few people that had one, actually.
Right. I mean, but everybody had a Genesis.
Yeah. And then you could get a Sega CD to throw on it.
But my point is, sales numbers, if you just look back in history and look at the numbers, doesn't really tell you as much as actually remembering what that era was like.
Yeah, definitely.
But I don't even think it was until like late in the game when Nintendo was squirting out all those Donkey Kong Country games that they finally actually got ahead.
Yeah.
By then, it was pretty much PlayStation time. I just wanted
to... What, you mean the Saturn didn't take hold?
Hey, I have a Saturn. It has some cool games.
I actually... That's one of the few console systems I never bought.
Good for you.
Even though I was a huge Genesis fan, I just never took the bullet on that one.
Oh, Sega blew it. Yeah. They made so much junk no one cared anymore. Although I gotta make a Sega CD portable one of these days. You ever see that Sega CDX thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That
the smaller one, yeah.
I like the Sega CD. I can't deny it.
And I would say, too, with my list, that actually, because the Xbox came out much later on, right? Well, not much later, but a decent amount later on. Like, originally, the Dreamcast would have been my choice in that generation until the Xbox came along.
Dreamcast was 99, PS2 was 2000, and Xbox and GameCube were 2001.
Yeah.
I really liked the GameCube when it first came out until I realized that it, you know, wasn't really the way to go, but
yeah.
I thought it was awesome, but...
I like the concept, but it just, yeah, again, it didn't really have any games.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, so, I don't know, you have questions down there after the lists?
Yes, one of the things I put, do fanboys scream so loudly that we misinterpret their numbers?
As far as, you know, how important the vocal part of the audience is to the grander scheme of things?
Well... I don't know. Like, Nintendo fans and Apple fans are very loud.
Yeah.
And you don't really hear much from the... Like, the PS3 fans or PlayStation fans, you don't hear much from them at all.
No, not really.
No, that's probably because a lot of them, you know, just don't go on forums and don't care because they're too busy playing whatever Madden game came out that year. But, I don't know. You know, it's like putting 50 bumper stickers on your car kind of thing.
Yeah, still, you're just one person.
Yeah, I mean, what's your take on that? Because I know you read forums and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, it's, I don't know, it's interesting. People, you know, definitely have their own slant on things, like with anything else. You know, it's why some people buy Toyotas and other people buy Chevys. You know, it's everybody's got their own opinions about everything and what is and isn't reality. And I don't know if in the grand scheme of things the fanboys mean that much to how things really play out. Because, you know, like, as far as, like, whatever the Wii's sales figures are so far, it's like, that's not really as a result of the fanboys.
No.
You know, the fanboys had that kind of initial surge there when it first came out, because, of course, if you're a Nintendo fan or a Sony fan or Microsoft fan, whatever... you're probably going to be right there in line on opening day to buy the new system.
Mm-hmm.
But to sustain that, it goes beyond the fanboys, because if only the fanboys bought the systems, none... I can tell you right now, the Microsoft and Sony probably wouldn't even be in this business, and Nintendo might not be either, or they'd be much smaller than they are, because what the hell would the point be if you only had a couple million people, you know, buy your systems? Because that's all it is the couple million of the screaming minority, basically, is who these people are.
Well,
so.
People, I've read that about the Metroid games, is that they don't really sell phenomenally. They just have a really loud user base.
Yeah. That's true. No way, other way to slice it, really.
I mean, like what we were talking about earlier before we did the podcast, like Halo 3 will outsell Metroid 3 in probably about 1 hour.
Yeah.
Well, no, it already has, as you mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah, they've already gone over 1 million pre-orders for it, and it's still got a month to go until it comes out, which is just insane. I mean, not just talking as a Microsoft fan, because people know I'm not a huge Halo freak or anything, but I think that's incredibly impressive.
Like the Metroid games sell, like, what, about 1 million copies each they usually have?
Something like that, a little north of 1 million, I think, or whatever, but...
Right, and you know, but you see, if you go on the internet, you read a lot more people talking about, oh, Metroid Prime, yeah, I'm going to jack off now.
Yeah.
And you don't really see people, like, jizzing over Halo. It's just kind of like a foregone conclusion.
Yeah.
Maybe it's kind of like, you go to, maybe you've noticed this, I know you don't watch movies in the theater very much anymore, but you go to a movie theater and the trailers people, like, respond to the most usually never, the movies themselves usually never become very successful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't remember what it was, but... It was a couple years ago, I was in a movie, and I saw a trailer for Along Came Polly, you know, that Ben Stiller, Jennifer
Aniston
movie,
yeah.
And Shrek 2.
Okay.
And people were laughing their ass off during the Along Came Polly trailer. Shrek 2 trailer, just crickets.
Yeah.
Of course, one movie made like $50 million, another one made $400 million.
Yeah.
You know, Shrek 2, obviously. And so, I don't know.
Well, it's kind of like with... I have a feeling the same thing will happen with that new movie with The Rock in it, where he's like the football player who just has his daughter he didn't know about show up on the doorstep. Because I went to the theater once or twice and had that trailer play, and people were like laughing at it, and blah, 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 and I bet you that one doesn't do crap.
Well, I don't know. That one movie where he was, what was that movie?
Well, you're thinking of The Pacifier, probably, with Vin.
What's the difference? Vin Diesel, The Rock.
I don't know, though.
I like them both, though. Don't tell anyone.
Oh, yeah. Well, they both kick ass.
They're both the closest thing we have to Arnold since Arnold became a politician.
Yeah, so...
I hate video games.
So we have to cling to them.
Yeah.
And well, Vin has just that voice where it sounds like it's coming from the pit of hell. It's awesome. Gravel.
Well, I mean, they're both, you know, charismatic. I don't... They need to make some sort of Terminator movie, you know?
But, they need to make something where they can both be in it.
Oh, that would
and
be awesome.
And we've talked about that before. That'd be cool.
That would be cool. I'd go see it no matter what it was.
Exactly.
Well, like I saw, what was that movie, The Rundown?
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
I know, but, you know,
it wasn't
great
either.
You gotta watch The Rundown. I watched it. I'm like, okay, this is all right, but... It's about 10 times wussier than any movie Arnold would have made.
Yeah.
I mean, Arnold would have been, like, killing these motherfuckers left and right.
He would have blown up their whole mining operation.
Hey, wasn't Eva Mendez in that?
I'm sure she was. She might as well have been.
Remember? Hey, but we should talk about that Arnold movie we came up with. You remember?
Which one? Weapon of Mass Destruction?
Yep. Or the one that'd be an awesome video game.
Yes.
It was going to be Arnold Schwarzenegger. As an ex-Marine or something. You know, the usual bullshit.
Yeah.
And
basically commando later in life, pretty much.
And then he was going to be in this graveyard talking to a tombstone where his wife was dead. Of course, his wife is dead. And he's like, I don't know how to be a good daddy. And then, what was it, like, terrorists in Cuba were going to kidnap a nuclear submarine?
Yeah, just some sort of horse shit.
And the tagline is, the only way to retrieve a weapon of mass destruction is to send one! And then, like, this village blows up.
Yes.
But anyway, it was going to be Arnold Schwarzenegger and Bill Paxton.
Of course.
And Bill Paxton was going to, you know, be Bill Paxton. And wasn't he going to, like, and Eva Mendez was going to be in it as the woman?
She might as well have been. And I can't remember if we actually had her cast or not, but...
Because we've been talking about this for a while.
Oh, yeah. Good old Boomer McGavin for...
Yep, it was either going to be the ultimate 80s movie made in the 2000s or a video game.
Yeah.
And anyway, there's going to be a part, you know, after they've killed a bunch of people, and him and Eva Mendez are watching the sunset, and it's like a very touching moment.
Arnold's going to say, I had the wife once. Then he turns to her. She's dead!
Yes.
Well, you know what they could do? They could make a, just fucking make a sequel to Commando.
Yeah, exactly.
Throw Alyssa Milano in there. That wouldn't be too bad to look at.
Yeah. I'd pay to go see John Matrix blow shit up again.
Matrix!
Yes. They'd have to come up with some cheesy-ass villain again, like that freaking lame 80s band cast-off looking dude.
Oh, bet it.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that guy, I mean, really, looking at that guy, how could he even fight Arnold?
I know, and he had, like, no right, which is part of what makes Commando so great, because that dude's, like, cocking off all the time, and it's like, dude, you have no right to even talk about beating up Arnold.
Okay. See, that's what they need to do. They need to make the Weapon of Mass Destruction movie and have, like, Vin Diesel or The Rock in it. Just make a movie where you go around shooting everybody in sight, blowing up everything. That's what people want to
see.
See,
they can have The Rock be the Weapon of Mass Destruction, and then Vin Diesel could be, like, the bad dude.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And then
you'd actually believe that they could have
actually,
a fight.
Yeah, you can actually buy into it a little bit.
Yep. And then the trailer could say, the weapon of mass destruction has been found.
See, this is why we should be running Hollywood.
Oh, yeah, we'd make quality movies. I think Weapon of Mass Destruction would be a good video game, too.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
You know, it's basically make it Far Cry. You know, so. That is one thing I liked about Far Cry and why I'm looking forward to Crysis. It is fun to, like, run around in the jungle and whatnot. It's a little change of pace from the corridor crawling of most first-person shooters,
yeah,
including BioShock.
Or blown up, you know, European streets and stuff or whatever.
Hey, Call of Duty 4, isn't that coming out, like, soon?
November 5th, I think, they just announced. So, a couple months away.
And I'll get that for the PC as well.
What a shock.
All right, well, okay, are you happy? We went over. We went overtime.
So do we hit all of our points on...
I think so. We talked about loud fanboys, quiet fanboys.
All right.
So I think we're good. But yes, Weapon of Mass Destruction would be the awesomest movie ever made.
Yes. Unless Hook, Line, and Sinker got made, but that's a whole other conversation.
We'll have to talk about that next time. All right, well, one of these days we'll come up with a new fun intro for our podcast, but we've just been...
too busy.
And devoid of ideas. Like, we were thinking about, what, 52 weeks later?
Yeah.
And you and I were going to...
fanboys...
fanboy zombies trying to kill us. But if you have any good ideas for an intro, please let us know. We've considered Oregon Trail the movie, but with Jennifer Lopez as Sacagawea. You know, it has to be completely anachronistic if it's from Hollywood.
What, not Eva Mendes?
No, and I was going to have Ben Franklin in it, too.
That'd be Danny DeVito.
Hey, I'm here to help you get to Oregon. I'm stealing this stone. that was a good movie. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Kicked ass.
Yeah.
In
all
retrospect,
right.
The 80s were a goddamn good time, actually.
Yes, I have an opinion on why that was, but I won't get into it in this podcast.
All right.
All right, so I guess that's about it. We'll talk to you next time.
Adios.